Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
The area around the Bethesda pool was certainly not the most pleasant place in Jerusalem. The pool was located near the sheep gate, where people would come and they would bring their sheep and they would clean off the sheep with that water. The pool was nothing but disgusting. We can just imagine. From there, they drove the sheep and other animals into the city, which were later sacrificed to the temple. The number of sick people who were waiting did not make that place look any better. All of them waited for that one moment when the water in the pool would stir up. People would lay sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed everywhere. And for sure, it was a place where evil and hatred reigned. We can just imagine when we go to the store and these crazy specials like Black Friday, when there are too many people and we get annoyed with each other because everybody is in our way. We can imagine this 100 times more. Arguments and beggars formed a constant noise in that place. And all this evil of this place was multiplied at the moment that the water in the pool was stirred up. We can just imagine again how many fights there were among those who were sick. Who would make it first into this turbulent water? Now, since we have this image in our heads, what happens next? What do we hear in the gospel? God enters this place of misery with his power. And the paralyzed man mentioned by St. John was a real poor man. Not only did he suffer from physical disability, but he spent 38 years in this unpleasant, smelly place. And what's more, even without the hope that he will be healed, he tried for 38 years, how many times? This spiritual suffering of losing hope was for sure greater than this physical one that he had. Maybe that's why our Savior came to him. God stopped by a man who was abandoned, helpless, immersed in hopelessness. God stopped by the man who had probably already given up hopes and desires and passively waited for the end of his miserable life. God stood by this man and ordered with his word, "Get up and take up your bed and walk." And this man, after 38 years, without hesitation, without argument or even laugh, "Come on, man. Me get up?" Didn't question Christ. He got up and he regained his health and was able to leave this miserable place. How similar this world is to this unpleasant, how similar this world that we live in is to this unpleasant environment of Bethesda pool. Do we not find in this world many who are paralyzed, blind, deaf to the truth? Don't we find people waiting for a miracle in it that would free them from their miserable situation? Don't we find many who in it seek advantage for themselves by quarreling and fighting and pushing others away for their gains? Don't we find many in it who have already given up all hope for a possible change and are passively waiting for the end of their lives? And maybe we ourselves are somewhere in between the society, unable to break out of the state. God also comes to us. He says to one, forgive and go. If we forgive, we will be healed and we will be able to free ourselves from the suffocating atmosphere of anger and hatred that this world produces. He says to another, love your neighbor as yourself. Christian love, not the love that the society tells us what love is, but true Christian love will make it possible to cut through all the vicious cycles of our egoism. Christ says to another, perhaps, leave the lies and go. The truth of the gospel always leads a person out of the dead ends. God comes to us today and every single day of our life. And He says, repent and follow me. None of us have to live in this suffocating atmosphere of this world which is barren of all hope of change. It is enough to listen to this powerful word of God, but we have to be open to it and listen to it with our whole heart. There was a meeting, I heard this story a long time ago, but I just write down a couple of notes that I saved. And there was a meeting of a young Catholics where, I can't remember where it was, but they invited a young woman who had been in prison for past few years for various offenses and crimes she has committed. She was invited because she had a beautiful testimony to share with others. And she was the main speaker of the whole night. And she said that after her release from prison, she was not looking for God. She didn't even know. She was baptized, but she was indifferent. But God put Himself in her way. He stood in front of her. One evening, she said, when she was preparing to do another crime, much worse crime than before, in the silence of this preparation and imaginings of what she will do, she seemed to hear God's voice, I am. And it's, if you look at the halo, the letters signify the words, I am. And that was enough for her to hear, I am. She was terrified to the point that she changed her direction. She sought help and counsel with the priest. And she ended with her speech with these words. I was imprisoned by the society. I didn't know I was lost. But now I'm imprisoned by Christ. He is my life. He is my everything. And through Him, my love is directed to all those who need help. A similar and wonderful change can occur in our life as well. We can have a new life, but it is up to us whether we will be alert enough to catch that moment of grace in which the question is heard, do you want to be healed? We are asked this question every single day, but we have to listen for it. We have to be attuned to it. Today, Son of God, Alexander was baptized. And what a beautiful Sunday you picked. It was scheduled for 2 months, and I'm very happy because what a beautiful connection of this man who was unable to go to the pool. And now, Alexander was able to. And through baptism, he was made whole again. And baptism is very first step in his faith, most beautiful step in his faith, but it is not his last step. Throughout his life, your example of your faith, of your love, of your dedication to the family, to yourselves, and to the church, will be the most crucial example in his life. He can be a good person, but without Christ, even good is not good. Christ makes a person good, because Christ is good. So today, the gift of the Holy Spirit was planted in his heart, and from now on until he is grown up and he's rebellious, you have to take care of him, you godparents and parents. And you have to nurture this seed, this gift, and not throw it away. It's a very precious gift. And through your faith, you will show him what true Christian man looks like in this miserable world. Through your faith, he will naturally know what is good and what is bad, what is good and what is evil. Through your faith, in his later years, it will be much easier for him to answer to God when God asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And it's difficult sometimes. We get wrapped up in the world, and I want to remind you of something that we prayed. And this is not written, so forgive me if I mess up my homily, but he prayed during his lifetime, "Give him the companionship of an angel of light." Today, at this moment, he received from Christ his guardian angel. From today, ask him, beg him to protect him, and not just him, but to help you, to guide him in the way of commandments. Being parents is difficult, but know that guardian angel in Christ and Theotokos, that all the saints are with you as long as you ask. That's the beauty of our faith. So stay strong. Memorize this day, because it's the most wonderful day he will ever have. The most beautiful day. Congratulations. Sorry I made you cry. Christ is risen.